Hello, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio for early July 2025. I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
So we got a live stream this week.
Yes.
Last week. A week. In a week. On a week.
Within the past week or whatever. Which is the first time I've watched a whole live stream, fan stream, in like a year?
Also, in a week is one of my favorite Hozier songs. So, just a note there. Stick a pin in it.
Normally I just catch the highlights or just the notes.
See, the live streams work out really well for me because I work second shift, and so 11 a.m. Eastern time is usually when I'm, like, having my coffee and making some breakfast, and it's an excellent thing to just have on. So I'm, like, awake enough to have noticed people saying, oh, hey, the live stream is about to start, and be able to get that running and then have it while I'm, like, you know, doing my morning routine. So
yeah, it does always seem to be at an inconvenient time for me.
It seems like
don't it's notice.
Probably an inconvenient time for normal people with normal schedules.
Yeah.
But I am blessed to have an abnormal schedule. I usually catch them. I'm always a little disappointed if Emily is not there because I like Emily a lot. She has very good energy.
Hmm.
But,
I think she was in the last one I saw, but again, that was a long time ago.
I suspect that what we had this time was a guy who was there to make sure that no one said the word gun.
Yeah, that was... I mean, okay, because I watched it late, I only watched it today.
Right.
I had seen it pointed out that they said blaster every time you would normally say gun. Which was especially annoying. There was one point where it was really obvious because they called an armored blaster system like an unmade tank design. It's like, no, that's an armored gun system. That's a mortar.
That's literally not
treads.
What it's called.
Yes.
It's a real thing, and that's literally not what it's called.
Yeah, it's like the M8 armored gun system.
So it was like Evan, who's one of the usual guys on these live streams, and then another guy who I assume was just there to make sure Evan did not use the word gun. He did one time slip up and say the word gun and correct himself, and I just imagine he was just like massive sweat drops.
I mean, for the most part, I need to call it a blaster, but you're referencing a specific real-world thing that Megatron is sort of designed like. Have to use the
Megatron. Like,
Especially since they were supposed to be so specific later about whatever car design that KSI Widow is.
I understand it, and I do not disagree with why they do that. I suppose it's
I have seen lots of anime that has been dubbed. I have seen... Oh, what the fuck was the one where everything gun was turned to blaster. Now it's going to bug me.
But yeah, I'm not like one of those people who's going to be like, oh, it's woke now because they won't say gun.
No.
But
it stuck out to me this time.
But it did seem really... I mean, because headliner of the live stream, we got a really good look at Studio Series 86 Megatron.
Hmm, yes.
I had to go put in a pre-order after that.
I didn't. I'll hope to see him in store. I do really want him. But I think I can wait and should be able to find him, hopefully.
I did get the Optimus Prime, so...
I did not.
I'm at a point where if I get... A big part of my decision on whether I buy a toy is whether I can envision it as part of a shelf display.
He very much is.
I could definitely picture him in a shelf display with the Studio Series 86 Optimus Prime. There you go. They're a set. So yeah. I went to Entertainment Earth. Brief aside, I don't understand people, not to bring bad energy, but I don't understand people who are still bothering to pre-order things from Amazon.
What are you doing
with your life?
There, like,
I mean, yes, if it's an exclusive, okay.
Like, what was the Fissitron and Carnivac?
I mean, yes, things that are exclusives, that's understandable. But, I mean, I I realize that Amazon does tend to get things, like, and actually put them in people's hands a couple weeks to a month earlier than a lot of the smaller retailers, but also, we're all adults. That time's gonna fly by. Yeah. If I could wait for Hasbro Pulse to ship my boys, then people can wait for Amazon and just pass up. Because I do hear a lot of problems with Amazon pre-orders. So this isn't just entirely, like, throwing shade. It's, there is a problem and there is a solution. And the problem is that Amazon's pre-orders are unreliable. And the solution is you should be buying these things from smaller retailers anyway.
Yeah. They're not as unreliable as Target has been this year.
Yeah, Target is a whole thing.
Amazon's got some issues.
Yeah. So.
Oh, it was Outlaw Star. I couldn't remember that name. The dub was very specific about calling guns blasters.
That sounds like a Toonami thing.
Yeah.
Because they were on Toonami. I remember the days when Gundam Wing had a different dub depending on whether it was 3 p.m. or 10 p.m. Yeah.
Destroy and kill. That was a funny time.
Those were wild times. You have to tell people about that now when you got 8-year-olds watching Demon Slayer or whatever. It's like, back in my day, we couldn't say kill.
We couldn't say kill until after 9 p.m.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, I understand the reasoning. But it was really obvious. Yeah. But the Megatron looks really good.
Yeah, oh god, the robot mode is so goddamn clean. It's shocking.
I got my order in with Entertainment Earth. You do have to get over $79 to get free shipping, so I threw in a G-Quux Gunpla.
Ah.
So, because if you pre-order stuff, it doesn't have to ship at the same time to still qualify for the free shipping.
Yeah.
So, got Megatron lined up, got a G-Quux kit, fingers crossed that I don't wreck it, because I am out of practice. So, other thing.
Yeah, I have a pile. I don't need to buy any new kits right now.
Yeah, if it's anything like the kits
unless
I have.
Unless it's like a really cheap GM or something.
It's going to sit for like 20 years, and then I will continue to not put it together because then I'm intimidated because I feel like I have to do right by it, like my gym sniper from 8th MS team.
I would say I'm not that bad about kits. However, somewhere in this house, there is a kit I bought in college from Gundam Wing.
Oof.
I've just misplaced it.
Oh, those all got built. My Gundam Wing ones got built. Those, the little ones they had at Toys R Us, yeah. With dollar a bottle testers enamels.
Somewhere there's a Shenlong.
Ooh.
I don't remember where I put it.
So, there is a Studio Series Grimlock refresh coming for people who missed out on that.
Because
that was a really good one. For people who missed out on that, but are not satisfied with G2 Blue.
Okay, that makes sense. G2 Blue or the yellow one, or there's a third one somewhere, or fourth one in there somewhere.
I do kind of want that G2 Blue
one. Oh, the Triptychon.
Yeah. Yeah, the Triptychon and the new colors. So that's cool.
I love the yellow
speaking
one.
Of
so
things
bright.
Being blue, War for Cybertron Thundercracker. Which is good if you needed to finish your Seeker set. I need to get those games now that I have an Xbox.
Yes.
I need to track those down. I did get Devastation, and one of these days I'm going to play it. Someday.
It's fun. It's kind of repetitive, but it in a very fun, mind-numbing way.
Sometimes I just have these things to be artifacts. Yeah. I can tell you that it does play, though. I think I mentioned this back when I got it on the podcast.
Yeah, because it's by the people that made Bayonetta and other things that are just fun little action games.
That if you put it in an Xbox Series X, I can confirm that you will be allowed to play it, even though it's not actually available on the store. It does run the necessary updates for backward compatibility and play. I'm just too many other things going on. But yeah, I need to pick up those War for Cybertron ones. We got a final look at Mixmaster and Scrapper. So, yay. Full Devastator power.
Or Scavenger.
Scavenger. Yes, you're right. You are
I know,
correct.
I mix up those names too.
I mix up all of them.
Because I just opened Scrapper today. I was like, wait a minute, which one? I mean, I like them. The problem is, it's like, Scrapper's the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And is technically the leader.
Yes.
Most of the time.
That is weird.
But his name is so close to Scavenger.
Yeah. And it is kind of weird that the leg would be the leader.
I kind of like that, that it's not just, oh, the torso is automatically the leader.
I suppose, but I guess that depends on whether...
Being the leg is kind of demeaning, in a way.
You think it comes first, that their position in the combiner or their position on the team... Like, are they just a bunch of guys and they designed them to combine so that the leader gets designed to be the central one? Or...
Yeah.
I mean, that is kind of how it usually goes because they're usually created as combiners, so...
Yeah. But, like, with the Constructicons, it always felt like, it's like, yeah, these guys are first. Shit was weird.
Yeah, things were weird back then. You could have the leg be the leader. But yeah. Yes, Mixmaster and Scavenger, it's... I mean, they're definitely... A set that I would have been picking up if money was not an object, but it's a nice, satisfying set. They showed off the Studio Series Transformers 1 Elita and Starscream, and it is nice that they... considering that we're not getting a sequel to it, I do appreciate that we're still getting, like, this long tail of toy releases. Like,
yeah.
Hasbro understands, the designers understand that this movie really did hit a good spot with the fandom, with the people who are going out and buying toys. And so, despite whatever Paramount... I mean, apparently it is doing really well on streaming.
Good.
But despite whatever else might be going on with sequels or no sequels, they are committed to continuing and giving us more toys from it. I guess on that note, yes, there was the KSI Widow, which is based on some...
Production art.
Which one was it? It was Dark of the Fall of Moon.
The third one?
Dark of the Moon.
Fourth one?
Okay. That was...
I don't remember.
Gosh, yeah. I think it was Dark of the Moon, because she was supposed to be the one that they ended up using the pink bumblebee for, Stinger.
Hmm. Oh, the red bumblebee, yeah.
Anyway, she does look good, and I gotta say, it would be tempting to get a less movie-verse-looking head and just declare that, like, I don't know, an IDW modern design for a fan character.
Well, because... There have been so many recolors since the design leaked that like, she'd be a great redesign for Knockout.
Yeah, yeah. Just put a Knockout head on her, and there you go.
Yeah. Although she's orange, so the colors are off, but...
Yeah.
I'm getting her because she's kind of neat, but yeah, I'm really tempted to head swap.
If I see one on clearance, I might pick one up and see if I can't just do the whole thing as a repaint for some fan character. Hmm. So... but yes, then back to Transformers 1 for stuff that's a little further down the line. They showed off the early, early prototype for Arachnid.
Yes.
Which looks great. Very exciting.
A deluxe? She looks...
She's tall.
Well, she doesn't look quite as spindly as she does in the movie, but yeah, she's tall and weird and want.
Very exciting that we are going to live in an age where Arachnid gets a good toy.
Yeah.
I still have the...
A different Arachnid.
The first, the Transformers Prime Arachnid toy, because I still bought it, even though it was terrible, because it was... I mean, I bought it, like, at retail.
Yeah, I've been tempted to buy a third-party one quite often.
Yeah, I think it was a third-party one, but yeah, I mean, this is a somewhat different design, but she's still... fundamentally. I think as I said when we were talking about Transformers 1, is you basically have two paths with your spider lady bots. Is are they redeemable or are they irredeemable?
Yeah, so
if they are
Black Arachnia or Arachnid.
Yes. depending on whether they are supposed to be a character who is redeemable or not. They are either Black Arachnia or Arachnid. I think Black Arachnia is probably the more recognized character, but I think Arachnid was definitely the one to go with for this use. It's a real good looking toy. I'm definitely going to have to pick her up.
Yeah. And the Starscream. I haven't gotten any of the transforming toys from one, but I do want Starscream because I couldn't find Megatron.
He's Steve Buscemi. I never found that Megatron either.
No.
I would have liked the Optimus Prime more, the like Optimus Prime that flooded the shelves immediately.
Well, I would the problem with the Optimus Prime is there was two different ones, and I could never decide which one. And yeah. I wanted the Megatron that never showed up.
That was the other thing. And I did get the Yellow Park kit Megatron.
Yeah.
Because I really just wanted the, like, the twink versions.
Which, yes, I did get that, too.
Yes, I wanted the D16 and the Orion packs, so... Yeah. I mean, if those do, again, end up on clearance, I might grab an Optimus Prime anyway. But yeah, I never, not once, saw that Megatron, so that's probably got like, crazy aftermarket markup, or...
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully we'll get a repack at some point.
I would hope.
That seems like something that they might want to do to pack in with Arachnid or something, since they got so little...
A wave refresh...
Whereas I was at Walmart near me today, and they had, like, I think two pegs of B-127, so...
Yeah, there's also not quite as many Bumblebees as there are Primes, but there's still a bunch around.
A lot of him around here. Also, they showed off the Transformers 1 Alpha Trion. So we're gonna get, it's looking like, two Alpha Trions in a year.
Yeah.
Which is wild, coming from a time when there were no Alpha Trions.
Yeah.
But this one is a lion, and he does not come with a quill.
Lion unicorn, which...
Like a Kieran, kind of?
Yeah, sort of like a Kieran. Or a Kieran are more like gazelle-ish, but...
Yeah.
It's close to that. There's probably something that more specifically fits, but he's big, chonky lion with unicorn horns.
He's magical. The important thing is, he's magical. And they did mention that they do want to do... Evan does want to do Monstructor.
Oh, yes.
So I'm curious. He said they will not be dinosaurs.
No. Well, because we already have the Dinobots and the Japanese ones, the dinosaur guys.
Yes, Dinoforce.
Yes, Dinoforce, which are already out, so they're going to remold
them. Not to be confused with Breast Force.
Want to remold them into Monstructor, which I really want.
Yes. So yeah, I am curious, since core class is not really so much of a thing, and I cannot imagine them putting out six individual core class figures of these randos.
Yeah. It'll be another pack like the Monster or Dinoforce.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to be a commander class multi-pack. But we will see. I mean, they could also do them as like double them up as deluxes, as three deluxe releases.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We will see how that happens, but it is pretty cool. Frankly, any time they make a new version of an obscure toy that suffered from gold plastic syndrome is good times.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to having a Kill Bison I can actually touch. I've actually got the G2 colors of the Combiner Wars Superion on my desk right now, and I'm still kind of wary about touching Slingshot. Even though, allegedly, they have fixed the problem, I'm just so mentally conditioned to be terrified of that gold plastic that I'm very careful putting him in arm mode. So that's exciting. So, done with the live stream. Other things. Apparently, Robert Kirkman and an artist named Dan Mora are going to be taking over on the Transformers comic.
I forget what Dan Mora was from. I've seen him in something. Justice League and Superman. Lots of DC stuff.
See, I'm not, like, a huge Robert Kirkman person. Like, I don't know that he's done a lot that I've been super excited about.
I really liked the first... I got the first year volume of Invincible. That was fun. and that I didn't really need to read more?
Wait a second. Someone is making a huge fuss in the other room.
What is going on? Is something actually going on, or are we just fussing for no reason?
I think we're just singing the song of our people for no reason.
But I never cared about that zombie book.
I watched the show, and I don't know how connected the show... I actually had a discussion with a couple of my coworkers the other day about... And one of these coworkers is, like, a black nerd. And we were talking about how in the first season... And it took place in Atlanta, and there was, like, one black guy, and his name was T-Dog.
Ew.
And there's, like, the one Asian guy, and...
Yeah.
But, I mean, it felt like... Like, he wasn't trying to be awful, he just didn't know better.
Yeah.
So it, like, improved over time, but...
I think the TV show, like, the first season was supposed to be like the comic, and then it deviated.
Maybe. So, I mean, it did get better about that kind of thing over time, but, yeah. But I do love Void Rivals.
Which Kirkman is writing, so...
Yes, which he has been writing. So I kind of... So there's this concept I want to get into in our end of episode discussion that is like the opposite of the deconstruction trend, which is reconstruction, where you take something that has become... It's sort of like what James Gunn seems to be doing with Superman.
Yes.
So, like... Something that has gone through that whole deconstruction phase, and it's like, you know, actually we can be mature and also hopeful.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, what I really love about Void Rivals is that instead of being obsessed with 1984, it's obsessed with 1987. So I am like, it's just extremely,
oh, yeah,
like,
it's a lot of the space stuff.
Season 3 coded, and I really like that. And frankly, I really like the idea of the main book being taken over by somebody who sees the value in season 3.
Yeah.
And I assume it's going to stay, you know, the setting and the base characters are going to stay the same, and it's not going to suddenly become the same book. Like, it's still going to be the book that it has been, and it's not going to suddenly become Void Rivals. But I am hopeful that he is, I mean, even though he is someone who is guilty of the whole deconstruction thing himself with Invincible, I'm confident enough after seeing what he's done with Void Rivals that I feel like maybe the Transformers comic, the main Transformers comic under him, is going to be less, like, dire.
Yeah.
Like, occasionally one good thing might happen.
Well, the problem has been, it's like, good thing happens, bad thing happens, repeat.
I need to write some whole, like, dissertation at some point. I need to write an essay about why it was fun when Simon Furman did it, and it's not fun when these newer writers do it. There's just some element of his approach that made, like, City of Fear...
The Britishness?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's the Britishness, but it was like, he could do stuff that was dark and violent and gritty, but also fun. Whereas this is dark and violent and gritty and also super depressing and miserable. So it's not even like...
Well, part of it is he did it first, but yeah, there's got to be more going on.
No, I think it's just because there's a certain, like, adventurousness to it. Mm. And a certain, like... maybe it is a Britishness, a sort of, like, stiff upper lipness to it as the characters are facing unimaginable odds, that it gives it a certain... And I think it's like narrative scenery chewing. I think it's the, like, narrative over-the-topness that turns it from being depressing to being fun. And maybe there is... I mean, there could be an element of nostalgia. That may be part of the problem. But I think it is just that it's, like... It's more... over the top in a way that, that makes it fun and not miserable, not a miserable slog. But that is an essay for whatever the next blog I start is, because I need to blog again, clearly. So anyway, short story, I am optimistic. I always go into any changes to Transformers fiction with cautious optimism, or hoping for the best and expecting the worst. but the optimism meter is a little further to the side of good on this one. So
you're very optimistic about it?
I'm mildly optimistic about it.
Yeah, the art looks good. I like the scratchiness of the previous artist.
I love the art. I mean, the art is wonderful, but I'm not an art person. I'm a writer. So I can appreciate the art, but not in the same way that I can appreciate well-crafted writing. Because that's not my skill set. That's not my domain. So speaking about not being optimistic about this, Michael Bay is back.
Why? Well, okay, maybe. It's not like he's entirely ever left, because he's been the executive producer on the past movies he hasn't directed. However, do we need him back directing? Please, no.
So, apparently, they've got... So, they're still acting like the G.I. Joe crossover might be made. Frankly, if they can get our fellows over at Skybound to come in with some script treatments, I would be significantly more optimistic about that. It sounds like Bay might be more associated with that, but then also Josh Cooley, who did Transformers 1, is penciled in for a live-action movie.
Which sounds, well, in theory sounds good. There are differences between directing animation and live action, but...
Yeah. And there's also talk of maybe also doing a sequel to Rise of the Beasts.
Okay.
I think the important thing is that Paramount has to have a Transformers movie in production by 2029 to maintain the rights.
Ah, there's the rub.
So I think they're just trying to throw things together and see who can get something actually in production before they lose the license, which I hate. That's why we got so many terrible Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah. All of them.
As a side note, it occurred to me that the Fantastic Four First Steps would be a perfect movie for me to actually go see at the drive-in theater that's near me now.
Well,
that would be like... Yeah. A+, perfect vibes.
Oh, I haven't checked the local drive-in in ages.
See if they're showing Fantastic Four, because that would be perfect. But yeah, I don't want it to get to the point where we're getting movies just to basically the shovelware of movies. We're just getting movies that they crap out to maintain the rights, but...
We've already did it. That was the second Transformers movie they directed without a script.
Yeah. Well, that was just to
a big shovel.
Stay on schedule despite the lack of actual writers of any kind, because they were on strike. Which is like, okay, props for respecting the writer's strike and not hiring scabs, but no props for just filming without a script.
Yeah.
God, that movie was a mess. So bad. So bad. All right. So, other random bits of news. Takara Tomy posted an official color picture, sort of a teaser of the Basara Prime for Macross 7. I have gone back to watching Macross 7. I have to watch it at home because it has ended up being not appropriate for work. So, it's a little bouncy for work about midway through. I think what it's just made me want is just, like, a really good Fire Valkyrie with a giant guitar.
Yeah.
But it...
Like, with a face that has a cool grimace, like, how does this feel like Prime?
I mean, it's got kind of a truck chest, maybe? The panels that go over the speakers, and the guitar has a matrix.
Yeah.
The guitar is a matrix.
Cool. My issue is with its being an Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it should really be, it should be Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Busser is much more Hot Rod, by which I mean he's terrible.
Hmm.
I love him, he's terrible. But, I mean, it is good timing for me personally to appreciate this toy, because, I mean, it's probably good timing for any importing, because America actually has Macross now.
Yes, on Netflix.
Yes.
Which I need to
is
get back
to. Is it
on
Netflix?
Or was it on Disney? It's on something.
It's on Hulu, which is part of Disney
Plus.
Hulu.
So it's Disney, okay.
Yes.
I remember I started watching the first episode. And added it to my queue. I just forget which thing it was.
Yes, it's on Disney Plus with Hulu. So yeah, there's a lot of Macross up there now, and it's fun. Not a whole lot happens, but there's a lot of singing at things, which I enjoy. I'm a big fan of just like battles that have soundtracks, and it's even better when the soundtracks are, you know, part of what's actually going on. So. But yeah, I think I would... It really just makes me want a plain old Fire Valkyrie toy that comes with a Fire Valkyrie-sized guitar and stage set. Hmm. Alternately, for it to be Hot Rod. I will also... He could even keep the Matrix guitar.
Yeah.
But it's... I don't know what Takara is...
It comes with a trailer that's also Rodimus.
I don't know what Takara is doing with making all of these be Optimus and Megatron. I mean, it's an approach, but I still prefer the American one of having them be, like, new characters.
Yeah.
But then I guess there's no point in having a Fire Valkyrie that's a new character because it's already a jet that turns into a robot.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, at least with, like, Ectotron, it was a thing that did not previously turn into a robot.
Hmm.
Whereas now it has always been, that's just a Fire Valkyrie toy. That's not a crossover, it's just a Fire Valkyrie toy. But anyway, I have heard, though, that it's going to be pretty expensive, so that may rule it out for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want it like Adamus Machina Hot Rod or Rodimus levels of wanting it. Cyber World is a thing that's
still
going
coming?
To be in the near future. It sounds like some people are getting, I guess we could mention this in the shipping, but some people have been getting the Scorponok and it looks amazing.
Yeah, if I see him in a store, I'd probably will get that
those
just for
colors.
Curiosity's sake.
Yeah, those colors are amazing.
He's a big neon toy for little kids.
He's so
he's
bright.
Got play features.
He's extremely like 1991, and I am here for it.
His fists come off and can plug into other robots like a Dinobot.
Yes.
Or Grimlock, I think it is.
So those, you know, they're on the way. They're still on the way. They have not stopped being on the way. No big news, except that is showing up in people's hands.
Oh, weird side footnote. Somewhere in Shanghai, there was an Optimus and Megatron wedding?
Like...
I'm not sure if it was an actual wedding, or if it was just, like, art and props that Optimus and Megatron were getting married, like some insane fan set this up or something. I don't know.
You're gonna have to
seen pictures online.
You're the one who found this on the social medias, because this is
I kind of found it by accident. Someone retweeted it, and it's like, what?
I do like the giant costume or statue or whatever is explicitly Transformers Prime Optimus.
Yeah, because. Yeah, because it's got, like, the big statue Transformers Prime Optimus, and it's got, like, big artwork standees of, like, G1 Optimus and Megatron, and, like, also, like, Transformers 1 versions, so... Someone ships them real hard.
This is what happens when Fujoshi have too much money.
Yes, apparently.
I gotta be honest, if I had too much money, I might be doing the sort of nonsense, too. Just have your ship get married.
Yeah, it's just an interesting little footnote that I trip over. I'm still on Twitter, and little weird things like that are what make it worth it, that I just trip over artwork and stuff. It's like, okay, someone's getting their freak flag flying, but...
You know what? Happy Pride.
Yes.
That is wild, though. And you are all excited because David Kaye is going to be at TFCon.
Yes. Well, I just noticed, like, he's the most recent one, as of recording, added to the list that's going to TFCon, and he wasn't there last year. So, yay!
Hey, he's nice.
I'll get to sign something.
I've
I don't
been
know,
at some
but
conventions he's been at.
Also, TFCon is in 2 weeks. And it's so soon.
I was going to say it's not going to be out yet, but there's that that Funko Pop Beast Wars Megatron. We have seen pictures of those, and...
Oh!
Yeah, they're...
Do I have the box from the last Megatron? That was a while ago. Probably not.
Get him to sign Armada Megatron.
I don't have Armada Megatron.
Oh, you should. He's amazing.
I have the Galvatron colors of the original.
Okay, that's fair. When I was trimming down my collection, I kept the Mega Zarek version, which is the objectively best color scheme ever in the world.
It's the one I would want if I had the budget for that.
Yeah. Actually, I did end up selling that one, and then I rebought it at TFCon, like, 2019, and it was $75 or something. So I think it's gone back up since then.
Yeah, by the time I started looking for it, it was higher than I would want to pay for a single toy.
Yeah, that's
which
fair.
Which varies depending on the year, but usually over 100 is too much.
Look, I paid $200 for that Rodimus, and I love him. He's on my he stands on my nightstand so I can wake up in the morning and see that there are good things in this world.
I still haven't bought Tidal Wave because, despite him being really big, he's also really expensive.
Yeah. But yeah, that's...
Unless I see him in a store, then I will not be able to hold back.
But yeah, I've been to conventions he's been a guest at before, and he's great. So that'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Good panels.
So shipping, we are hitting a little bit of a slowdown. My Silverbolt should be shipping from Pulps. I got charged for it just the other day. So that should be shipping any minute now. And then I will have Jet Zaddy. And he can these boys.
I got a weird notice from PayPal because I forgot how I bought it. Oh, the little Devastation generics, the car and the Seeker.
Oh, I forget
what they were called.
Every time I glance, just like see a post that's got a picture of that car, I think we're finally getting a remake of Boss. And then
basically
I'm sad
is,
because I
just
love Boss.
The gun. You could always just call him Boss if you go, well, or I'll do that anyway. But
I'll put an Autobot symbol on him.
Yeah.
Does he have pink windows?
Maybe? I'd have to
give him pink windows so he could be properly Boss.
Anyway, I got a real notice when I was going to PayPal to pay something else.
Mm-hmm.
That I got that. Well, there was money charged from Target, and I was like, wait, what was that? So I had to go digging, and it reminded me of trying to order them in the first place.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do it on my computer for some goddamn reason, so I had to log in on my phone in a new account. So I had to, I tried to check online. I checked on my phone. I was like, oh, right, that nonsense.
Yeah, Target is a pain in the rear.
But it was like, that has moved into the processing period. It hasn't actually shipped.
Like, I'm getting to a point where I'm going to have to decide whether I want to renew my Hasbro Pulse Premium. And honestly, the biggest benefit of it is that I can buy store
early
exclusives.
Pre-orders?
Well, that I can get store exclusives through them and not have to rely on Target and Walmart.
Yeah.
Because Target and Walmart are not reliable.
No. Yeah, so I'm hoping to have those by TFCon, maybe.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Also, people who got Star... I can't call him Star Optimus Prime. It's a dumb name and it's too long.
Yeah.
He's Star Convoy. Oh my god, Windsor is trying to jump on me because I'm not giving him enough attention.
Well, because if you're calling him Star Optimus Convoy, my brain wants to condense that to Stoptimus Prime.
That feels wrong.
Windsor, calm down, buddy. I know. Chew on my power cord. There you go. But yeah, he's just, I mean, he's Star Convoy. That's fine. Star Optimus Prime is just too long. And it,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's fine. It's one of those things that is, I'm just gonna know on an intellectual level, but never accept on an emotional level that he is Star Optimus Prime. He does look really cool. I mean, boxy and yeah. chunky and all of that. And really I really just want his hot rod. But that sounds filthy. But yeah, that is starting to show up. I heard someone say something about Amazon shipping Vortex.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So maybe Vortex and Alchemist Prime are going to start showing up soon, too, for people.
I got him somewhere else.
But
no, the most recent thing I got was half of the Constructicons, but I only opened one of them.
But yeah, people are definitely, multiple people are starting to receive Silver Bolt. I heard last week that Entertainment Earth's warehouse had gotten them, so if those have not shipped out already, they should be. Hasbro Pulse is shipping them.
I pre-ordered mine late, so I think mine is scheduled for September or something.
Oof. Then Air Raid and Slingshot can get in so much trouble by then. It's so much time to leave them unsupervised.
I mean, yes, I do have both of them now. Slingshot transforms weird.
He's a little interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not a whole lot shipping right now. It's not 12 waves hitting at once, but odds and ends.
Just some pre-orders hitting slowly.
So we are going to once again step outside of the realm of Transformers for the episode discussion. But the thing is, I'm sure anyone who is subscribed to our feed has seen it because I've been putting it in all our feeds for now, just so people know it's there. We have resurrected our Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod so that we can talk about G-Quax.
Yes, Gundam G.
Mobile Suit Gundam G-Quax.
They never actually gave it a full name, but presumably it was like G-Quantum. Well, also the Quax is like it's a filler thing in coding or something.
They never actually said it, but I continue to be committed to that theory because it's the right number of letters.
Yeah.
And because we do get some kind of quantum timey-wimey dimensiony stuff.
And so, little tiny black holes.
So spoilers for the ending of G-Quax for the rest of this episode. We're not going to go over point by point in this.
No, because we're going to have a full series about episode by episode.
Because, yeah, that's what Superhuman Samurai Cyberpunk is.
But Rob hasn't seen it yet, but we have.
So spoilers coming up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once we got to the point where there was other Lala, I was like, oh, this is going to be a multiverse story.
Yeah, which we've had too much multiverse in recent years.
There's a lot of multiverse. I'm a sucker for multiverse stories because they're fundamentally about, like, what it's like to be in a story and be, it's like very metafictional in a way. Again, I am a writer brain.
If it's done right, it is an examination of stories as stories within the story, which is what this is.
Yes. But like I said, it's that sort of, I do feel like we're getting a trend away from deconstructing things to take. I mean, you can't even really say that Gundam was ever innocent.
No, because Gundam was kind of a deconstruction of super robot stories.
Yeah, and also,
but it was still following the tropes. It was just making, oh, it's in a more military setting.
But also, like, Japanese kids stuff at that time. Like, I remember when I was sort of, and I was sort of half watching it because I was also at work, but when you were doing all the old Sentai stuff, when you were doing the Toei Spider-Man and that stuff, like, so many, like, kids with dead parents and so, like, it was dark in a way that American kids programming did. like, in a way that just seemed really weird and disturbing. And
oh, yeah, because, like, Toei Spider-Man, like, every 2 or 3 weeks, there's another Uncle Ben incident.
Yeah.
Like, not actually that Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, or the equivalent, but, like, they would meet a new child cast member or something, and, like, father figure would die.
Yeah.
Or nearly die.
Just that all the time. And so I have to assume that that was largely just Gundam being a product of post-World War II trauma.
Yeah, because
which
the,
is
like,
what I chalk that whole thing up to.
One-off episode characters would die in, like, Daitarn and things before Gundam.
Yeah. Whereas when we got to Gundam, I'm trying to get through Double Zeta right now. I got to Moon Moon.
I love Moon Moon. It's so stupid.
I think the thing about Moon Moon, because I was warned, because I posted to Blue Sky, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, y'all. Now, what I said was that a lot of times people will, like, there will be just a general consensus against something that I then end up enjoying, and Double Zeta does not seem to be that.
Oh.
But, you know, people were like, well, how far have you gotten? Have you gotten to Moon Moon? And I had not quite gotten to Moon Moon yet. I have
Moon
now...
Moon is like 15 or something? 20?
Yes. I have... It's like in the mid-teens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when the show starts to get more serious, kind of. And then you hit Moon Moon, which is serious and ridiculous at the same time.
The thing is... What Moon Moon, and we go back to some stuff I was saying earlier in the episode. Moon Moon is some straight up Face of the Ninjika stuff. It's some straight up The God Gambit stuff. It reminded me of some of my favorite G1 Transformers episodes.
Yes!
Where they go and encounter this, like, weird alien world that's
lost
got
civilization
some
shit.
Weird cultural thing going on. Yeah, like a lost civilization. Like, it really was like God Gambit vibes.
Yeah.
And so I have to, I can't resent it, because it is weird that that popped up in the middle of a Gundam series.
Yeah, also because, like, that's when, I forget the name of the character, one of Judo's asshole friends.
Uh-huh.
Like, one of the two of them actually finally gets a character arc, and you start to like him, and he's not a piece of shit in that the Moon Moon arc. And then he loses a girlfriend because Gundam.
Yeah, that's kind of how Gundam goes. So yeah, it was interesting, but I, like I said, I can't hate it, because it reminds me, it's just some of my favorite Transformers stuff. But... Yeah, I was honestly surprised in Zeta, and I won't spoil it exactly for anybody who wants to go watch Zeta after G-Quux. But there's a character who comes aboard, like, halfway through, and I absolutely did not expect him to last 2 episodes. And he actually made it to the end. I mean, he died at the end of the series, but he did make it through, like, 2 dozen episodes, which is astonishing.
Yeah, way longer than you'd think. Like, either he should have just been there for a couple episodes and disappeared, or died after 5.
So even the Gundam sequels felt like they were trying to be at least a little more chill than the original Mobile Suit Gundam. Even though they were still... I mean, Zeta was still pretty dark, but it wasn't like a character shows up.
Yeah, Zeta ramps up at the end.
Yeah, suddenly everybody gets killed off at the end, but they live to the end, which is more than I could say about, like, poor Kai's girlfriend and Ren Baral and Haman and etc. 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 Garma, yeah. Fucking Garma. So this it's almost like the original Gundam itself was the deconstruction that this is trying to be the reconstruction from and the healing from.
Yes! Yes, which, like, I saw, like, one tweet that had been, like, it was translated from Japanese that, like, somebody was talking about watching it with their mother, and their mother got really emotional at the end when you see characters that are still alive.
Aww. I mean, yeah, that's been fun for me about it, is being like, yay. Yeah,
it maybe indulges with that too much of bringing back characters from the original.
Yeah.
But that kind of plays off the old Tomino idea of it's the job of the younger generations to be better than the adults who have betrayed them. But in this, it's a way of, like, the new characters are the main characters, not the old characters. But it still falls back on the ending. I was like, oh, a lot of the old characters are still alive.
Yeah.
Thanks to the new characters. I was like, oh, I love this.
What I'm hearing here is that Amuro should never have gotten in that Gundam.
Yes.
Just keep him far away from it. Everything that happened from step one was a terrible mistake.
Yes.
But it does. I mean, I know well, you don't care for the Evangelions.
No. I've
and I
come
assume
to terms
you have probably
it, but...
I assume you have probably not seen the Rebirth movies.
Oh no. I saw the first one. And I was like, oh, it's the same shit again. I don't need to see the rest. So I haven't bought.
You should watch through all of them. Because, again, spoilers.
Well, good news! They're coming out with a new box set of all of them in every version, including theatrical and home releases that were never released. And it's like $300 or something.
Oh, man. I was going to say no fair, because I have the fourth one is like a nice 4K collector's edition, and I would be sad if that got replaced by a bigger set, but that sounds like firmly out of my price range for the moment.
I think
they're
also coming out with like a box set of just the regular version, the regular home editions, but like there's a really expensive one that's like coming out with theatrical editions that were slightly different from like by like a minute of runtime than the actual releases that have been previously.
Can't deal with that. I can't even deal with that. But my
no,
point
little...
is
anyway.
That the rebuild movies do something similar where it's like, let's do it over. Like when Kaoru shows up and he's like, this time I will make you happy. And it's like, what do you mean this time? But it is that sort of like reboot, tell the story again, be a little kinder at the end, like have Shinji understand why his father did the things that he did. And it's that same sort of reconstruction of let's do it again, but kinder and with more understanding and mature understanding, because again, part of the whole deconstruction trend is people feeling insecure about liking superheroes or cartoons or whatever, and they have to mature it by making it dark and gritty and all that, where it's very mature to have it be about healing and growth. And that trend, you know, especially because everything in the world is terrible. So I think that's something that we need. Like, so, and again, because Anno did also work on G-Quux, and it has that same sort of feeling like the Evangelion Rebuild movies did, of a more, like, healing, kinder version. But, I it does seem like there are very dramatic differences in how people feel about it. I know, one of my mutuals was basically complaining, and I kind of got this feeling from the first episode when the G-Quux kind of rejects Xavier or Xave or however you want to pronounce it, kind of rejects him in favor of Machu, that it's really veering way into that super robot territory of having the robot be a character and not just an object.
Yes, I mean, well, yeah, because in standard Gundam, the Gundam is just an extension of the main character, a symbolism of them growing into adulthood.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's sort of the distinction between real robot anime and super robot anime, is that the super robot is a character and the real robot is an object.
Yeah, whereas the G-Quox is accepting of Machu and letting her have her way, and I think she might be the first Gundam protagonist to never kill anyone.
It did open its mouth. So yes, that was finally. Cool. You know who did kill people?
Oh my god,
was
yes.
Nyan.
Yeah, Nyan theoretically has the highest body count.
I guess we should have figured out that there was something up with Shuji when he was perfectly happy to do some murders.
Yeah, Shuji is such a weird character who's kind of a non-character. He's a cipher of a character.
Yeah, he's kind of like a metaphor. Like, I normally love a good character who is a metaphor. So, RIP, my appreciation of Neil Gaiman's fiction. Because he did a lot of that. But yeah, he is kind of like that metaphor.
Yeah, Shuji's a little undercooked, but not a... Xavier is less of a character than I expected. Like... I kind of don't know why he's there for the second half of the show, other than the final show. So Shalia Bull has someone to dogfight.
He's there because he the Gyan is amazing, and it needs a white knight to be... I just love him because he clearly thought he was going to get to be the main character. And he has been sidelined, and he's a little salty about it, but not like super salty.
But I think G-Witch did that character way better. With Bob. Or whatever the hell is actually... Guel.
But I definitely... I think the thing is... You know, sometimes there's a story that... is an extension of some existing thing like this. And it's maybe not the story you expected or thought you wanted. But you still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Another example being that recent Death's Head series for me, where it was not
what I would have expected
a Death's Head series to be, but I still enjoyed it because I like the Young Avengers, and I thought it was fun. It's just not
And the
what
Kazama
I thought
art was amazing.
Yes, it's just not what I thought it would be going into it. It's not necessarily what I would have conceived of. So yeah, G-Quox is kind of like that. It's not necessarily what I think anyone expected it to be, and some people liked what it turned out to be, and some people really seemed to dislike that it veered so far from the real robot.
Yeah, there in like three different Discords there's been one or maybe more, but usually just one person who really seems to hate and not like the show, and I have to ask them, it's like, after seeing episode 2, did you not think this was going to be about Char?
Of course it's about Char.
Like, that was a complaint of at least two people. It's like, oh, there was so much Char stuff at the end. Why is this all about Char?
Because...
Did you see episode 2?
Yeah.
Like, you should have got the point early on. Like,
I loved his magical girl transformation.
Yeah. It feels weird that, like, some people seem to be hate-watching this. Like, one... I have done hate watches of anime back in the day, but I tend not to complain about it. It's like, I brought this upon myself, usually. Whereas this, it's like, if by, like, episode 2 or 3, you're not liking G-Quox, no, stop now, because it's more of that.
Yeah, if you don't like that, then I'm sorry. As we told Rob... after the second episode, remember Girin and Cassilia, they will be on the test.
Yes.
I did love that we got so much of Cassilia.
Yeah. And that now she's a canon new type. I sort of remember that being an old rumor back in the day, but now she is.
Yeah, so, I mean, she is the one trying to stop the explicitly Nazi Zabi, so I will give her some leeway.
Yes, but
she's also not great.
No, she's fair. She's better than Girin.
She's a problematic fave. I mean, I think I mentioned
that... But she still wants to kill a lot of humanity.
The one thing that I find, for the most part, I really cannot stand that Mashimaru guy in Double Zeta.
Oh, Marcello, because he's nuts.
But I will say that he's very relatable because I also want Haman Karn to step on me.
Yeah, like...
So yeah, it's like I'm saying that she's a problematic fave now.
Yeah.
Like, she's not a good person, but I like that she got so much to be so much.
Yeah.
To be so much of a character here.
And,
but
like,
yeah.
As you brought up earlier, like, not putting Amuro in the Gundam does eventually lead to a good timeline in the end. The problem is there was 5 years of bullshit in there that we kind of skip over of Zeon being massive assholes to Spacenoids.
Yeah.
But in the ending, it's like, oh, that's probably the best possible way Zeon can turn out.
Yeah. And I liked the characters. I mean, I did... It did feel... I don't know that I would say that I was let down that Char was actually just in hiding and not being off shunted into some kind of weird space magic thing.
No.
But that
but
is
it
a
was
lot.
Char doing shit behind the sidelines.
Yeah, that is
very
a,
Char.
It's a very Char thing to do, and also it is a much more real robot thing for him to do. Also,
yeah.
Shalia Bull was so mad at him about that, and he was justified. Like,
yeah,
he went away, and he didn't tell his best boyfriend.
Yeah, Shalia Bull,
Mev,
like,
guy.
It's hard to judge him in the end because he's the most complicated character in the entire show.
Yeah.
Which sounds insane.
Again, a character who showed up for one episode and died in the original.
Yeah, but now he's got this whole thing about, like, wanting to kill the zombies and get rid of Zeon, but it's like, somebody's gotta be in charge of Zeon in the end, and it's like, are you okay with who's in charge? You definitely don't want Char. Oh my god, that makes so much sense when it's like, no, I was killing the zombies and I'm gonna kill you next because you're just as bad.
I do think it's funny that Selah / Artesia was not even a character through this full series, and then she's now the head of Zeon.
That is perfect in a way, because that's so much of what Selah was after the original Gundam, because the voice actress was unavailable.
Yeah!
And here she... That continues.
I
like it.
In Zeta, there's, like, two scenes of her, like, hanging out on the beach or something.
Yes.
I'm like, what's she even... She needs to come get her brother in line. Come
yeah,
smack
I
him
it,
over the back of the head.
At some point early in the planning, they did want her to come back, but the voice actress wasn't available, and that was it for the rest of Sayla. It's like, we can reference Sayla, we can show Sayla, we can't do anything with her.
Yeah.
Because she can't speak.
That's unfortunate. But yeah, that was, I mean, I think that was a good solution. I guess it could have used, like, another 12 episodes and actually had Selah in it.
as it was ramping up the last few, it's like, oh no, they're gonna wrap it up. They have to. It's accelerating way too fast.
Yeah.
But, like, one or two more episodes, yes. Like, at least, like, give us some more Nyan and Machu stuff early on, maybe, or... So, there needs to be a little bit more character work in there somewhere.
And so we will get to it when we have him in the actual proper series, but good news for Rob about that ending credits.
Yes! Oh, that was, like, two or three episodes before the end, like, I saw somebody speculate that, oh, the ending theme is going to be the end of the show, and we're kind of hoping for it. And it was true. It's so good.
Well, because everybody wants Machu and Nyan to be okay.
Yes.
And be friends. And, again, heal.
And shipping. And in a couple.
Yes, that too.
Which, I mean, it's not as clear-cut as G-Witch was. But they're roommates. They were roommates!
They could definitely be a throuple. They could share Shuji.
Yeah, that seems to be where it's going. The series does not need a sequel. It wraps up more than enough to finish.
I definitely felt that was a satisfying ending.
But I would so much love if they do a 5-year time... Do a Zeta version. It's like, we could have a time skip and have more shit.
Do G-Quux, Zeta. And we did have the G-Quux opening its mouth.
Yeah. And it's not like they destroyed it like G-Witch. It's like, G-Witch took everything off the plate. It's like, no. Nothing more. No more of the series.
That's it. But like, you're done.
There's so much more potential. Plus, hey, there's a lot of characters that died in Zeta and Double Zeta we could play with.
Yep, bring them back. I mean, we got that one guy, Basque.
Oh, yeah, Basque is still alive.
I was like five episodes into Zeta and he showed up in G-Quux. I was like, that motherfucker!
Yeah, fuck yeah. There's... G-Quux is a great playground for fanfic now, because yes. It is a fanfic.
Everybody can write their own story about how their favorite Glup Shitto has survived and is doing in this new world.
And not exactly, but you could easily imagine that G-Quux is a prequel to the original Gundam.
Okay, okay.
Because Lala left, Lala does it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then she starts. So after that other Lala leaves,
yeah,
you're saying is that then she starts the original
starts it over again.
Okay,
does the original Gundam where Char lives for a long goddamn time, but she doesn't.
And then she
found out how to fix it. Oh, Char lives. I gotta die.
Sacrifices herself, and then in doing so, she stops rebooting the universe. That's a big one. That's a neat idea. We should go ahead and wrap things up.
Yes, it's been a while, and we gotta go watch Monster Dog.
If you've listened to this, if you have enjoyed listening to us going on about the Gundams, that is, it's Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod. Spelled just like the old American tokusatsu. And we are going to be doing that approximately monthly, and you can find that on our regular places. So that is it for this week. I will continue being over on Blue Sky as Trickster with an X, and also on Mastodon at Trickster at Retro.Pizza. I kind of meant to drop this in the shipping thing, but I found a Switch too. So if you go on either of those, you can find my friend code. I posted it on Blue Sky and it's in my profile on Mastodon. You can be my Switch friend and see the absolutely ungodly number of hours that I have played Animal Crossing. I actually friended someone on Blue Sky and then they responded to me with just a screenshot of my hours played in Animal Crossing and were like, what the fuck, Trix? Also, my friend Steve-O Stonebreaker, old ATT person, we both still play Animal Crossing like daily, and his is even worse because he's had more times when he's just left it running so that like people can come visit for some reason. So his is just some absolutely, his is worse than mine. But yes, that is where you can find us. I am going to try to use our socials more. That is the @IaconUnderground on Blue Sky and also on Mastodon. And your socials?
I'm Strange4, spelled out F-O-U-R, on Mastodon, well, on Retro Pizza on Mastodon, on Blue Sky, Twitter, which I've used again to promote Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod, and maybe the last time I used that account on Twitter, really, for much of all.
If you must.
Yeah.
Great, so that is it. Hopefully next time you will get to hear me talk about how great my Jet Zaddy is, and I will have Silverbolt. But until then, this has been Jen.
And David.
Good night. All right, that's recording. I got my notes. All right, you ready to go? Get this going so we can watch Clash of the Titans?
Yes. Oh, it's going to be a long one. I forgot. I mean, it's a good one, but it's going to be a long one.
I haven't seen it before. Like, I know about it through cultural osmosis, but I haven't actually seen it.
It was on TV so many times in the 80s as a kid. I probably haven't seen it since, like, 93 or something.
I'm kind of surprised, because, like, that just seems like a movie my dad would have had on.
Yeah. Because it was on TV all the bloody time.
I did see... I do remember one time that my dad was watching Dune, and I don't think he watched it again, because I think it was too weird for him. All I remember was that Sting was in it, and that impressed me as a youth, because I cared about rock music.
Whereas it was years before I realized, oh, that's a music man.
Yes. No, I listened to lots of top 40 stuff as a kid. And by as a kid, I mean literally like 5 years old.
If Elvis had been in it, I would have noticed, because my parents listened to a lot of oldies, and I didn't control the radio.
Aw. I mean, my parents listened to oldies, so I think it was just mostly, like, in the car, they just have the top 40 station on. Just by default. Aria just grooming Benjen in my lap. Come on, guys, get a room. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Make sure I'm feeling ready. I do not have Silverbolt yet, but he has shipped. Oh. I guess the other thing is...
something shipped... Well, I just got half the constructor cons, but I've only opened one.
You presumably do not have cats entirely blocking your access to the keyboard right now. Can you just scribble in Star Convoy under shipping? Because people have been getting him.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, also, like... Oh, something else showed up that was... Crap. I can't remember what it was. It was something that, like... Oh, Mixmaster, but that really doesn't matter.
Mixmaster doesn't matter. He's just a Constructicon. I feel so bad for being so dismissive of the Constructicons.
I'm getting them kind of grudgingly, mostly just because I found one at retail. It's like, yeah, okay.
I think I'm just...
weakness.
Like, they have always been incredibly overrated. Like, the entire time I've been in the fandom, which I would like to point out is an extremely long time.
Yeah, well, it's, I love them, but, like, they could use more goddamn colors and breakdowns and something. Like, Bone Crusher's all neon green. It's like, give them something. Change the color of his trades. Anyway.
I'm just letting Aria stop rubbing herself up against everything on my desk. She does this little thing where she, like, pads her back feet and she wiggles her tail like she's spraying, but she's not actually spraying, fortunately, but I don't know why she does that little motion like she is.
Probably because if she wasn't spayed, she would be.
Yeah. Hi, are you... Aw, she sniffed my hand.
Aw.
We're friends, Aria. You have lived with me for, like... 5.5 years now. We're friends, honey. She's like, we're not that good friends. We're not friends enough for you to pet me. We're friends enough that I will deign to let you sit there while I groom my boyfriend. But we are not friends. Okay. All right. Ready?
Yep.
Right. Here we go.